Wee-hee, hey.
What?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show, the American edition. I'm Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, who is not American, which I believe for many people right now is a badge of honor to say, I am not American. I need another drink. Anyhow, I'm really happy to be here with my all-American panel, and I do look forward to Friday mornings because I get to hang out with cool people who dazzle me with their brilliance and their humor. So,
Yeah, are
no
we keeping
pressure.
you that from that, Jeff?
No, but really, I am happy to be hanging out with all of you, and speaking of happy Ben, it's good to see you again. How are you?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
About to be very broke for my car, but very good.
Well, that's another part of being American. You have to have a car, and it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Not even an American car.
America. Okay, continuing with happiness instead. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's Friday. Glad to be here. Trying to figure out things. People keep asking me how to download a YouTube video and all that fun stuff, but I'm glad to be here.
It's great that you're here, and I get it. There, it just goes with the job.
Does.
People asking you how to do things that for us seem like things that everyone should already know.
Exactly.
Speaking of things or people everyone should already know, Chuck, how are you?
That was nicely done, Jeff.
Well
That was
done.
nice. I noticed your day interest Dave is a progression of happy, but I'll take what I got, so that's not bad.
Everyone should know who you are. Dave, you are Chuck Fracking Joiner.
Back in Joiner.
Oh man. But hey Dave, I think that you should follow the Montgomery Scott School of Thought and say, oh man, downloading YouTube videos, that's going to be, a couple hours work, but I'll get it to you.
Yeah.
And then you'll be the miracle worker.
I would be.
Sure. And then deliver it in an hour and a half, and you'll
Instead
look
of
even
taking 2 minutes, which it usually does.
better. Just hold it back and, say, well, boy, I put in some overtime, but I got this done for you.
There you
Yes,
go. And spend the rest of the time with a very good whiskey.
that's right, Dave, the miracle worker, Ginsburg.
Maybe.
Start signing your emails like that. That's good.
True.
Actually, do it.
Yeah.
And Chuck, all of your business correspondence, when you get to that signature part at the end, Chuck Fracking Joiner.
Cracking.
And HR won't have a problem with that at all.
Okay, so instead of ending with whatever the wrap-up salutation is, sincerely thank you, whatever. With attitude, Chuck Fracking Joiner.
That might fly. I lost it. I will take that under advisement, Jeff.
Excellent, excellent.
No,
I am clearly a business coach.
it's with attitude, cranky fracking Johnson.
Oh man.
The one you got this morning.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, that's been a great show. Thanks for joining
Thank you,
us this
everybody.
week.
Deuces. Deuces.
So,
Somebody's watching this video, YouTube video, and you know what I'm talking about.
Hey, it turns out we do have a little bit of news to talk about. So I'm thinking, why don't we just go down the line in order of Apple announcements this week? Because no surprise, We did get new product announcements this week. Tim Cook did tease these on his I'm not getting it. Why X? It's I mean, are there really that many people still using X to make it worth posting content there and taking the potential goodwill hit? I guess
Yes.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Not smart people.
It's yeah,
I'm sorry, guys, I can't agree. And in some ways, I feel like we're contributing to the problem by sort of reverse politicizing it. But at the end of the day, X is still where companies, among other social medias, but it's still one of the primary places that businesses have presences, you know, and they don't have them. Sure, it's evolving slowly, but just next time you go to a company's website, scroll down and see how many of them have Mastodon. They don't. Unfortunately, how many of them have Blue Sky? They don't. They might have Instagram, they might have Facebook, and those two have been sort of casting evil lights in the past as well. But X marches on. X still is the place to be. For news, X is still the place to be. Again, it may be shifting a bit, but I feel like that X gets this attitude of being dismissed because maybe some folks don't like the politics. And you know how I feel about discussing politics, but in this case, it is in relation to tech. And so as a result, I mean, the most I could say is maybe they should be double announcing on X and something else.
Yeah,
But
I
I
mean,
think if you're in business, you got to be on X.
no, I
Yeah, I
agree.
mean,
Yeah, X still has a lot of Twitter's old goodwill when it comes to business relations.
won't stop me from bagging on them, but Chuck, that is a fair argument.
Yeah, and you know what, Ben, I might change your word a little bit. Goodwill, I'm not so sure that's not over. Momentum, I think, is the word.
Momentum. I like that. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yep. All right. Well, then, considering Apple has a lot of momentum over the past couple of weeks with product announcements, do you like how I did that one? Just slid
Smooth.
that right in. So last week, Tim Cook teased there's something in the air, and this week turns out that's true. So first up was the new iPad Air with an M3 processor, and hold on, let me drop the link into the live chat. There we go. Okay, so 11 and 13-inch models, M3 processor, and let's see, 12-megapixel cameras, which I do not believe is a change.
Yeah,
And
pretty much just picture a M2 iPad Air with an M3.
yes. They didn't even upgrade the Bluetooth or the USB-C on this, correct? It's basically really just the new processor, and base model is 128 gigs of RAM instead of 64.
Yeah, 64 is done across the line.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. So price points starting for the 11-inch, $269, or $319 for the 13-inch model. There is a new Magic Keyboard to go along with these models too. So, what do you think?
It's if you're on a M1 or earlier MacBook Air, or maybe even some of the or M2 or M1 iPad Pro, this is a decent upgrade. If you're, quite frankly, if you're on an M2, you don't need to upgrade. It's
or if you're kind of upgrading from a regular iPad, it's a if you find the last generation of iPad Air compelling, this is even more compelling. If you didn't find that compelling, it's probably not going to do anything for you that the M2 didn't.
So you've been doing the comparison to upgrading from earlier M series processors, which totally makes sense. I have a feeling though that a lot of people that are looking at this thinking it's time for me to upgrade are people that have A series iPads.
Yeah, that too.
Chuck, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this. I think Apple did some good things with this entry level model. You know, getting it up to an A16 was quite a big jump. One of the differences, it doesn't have Apple Intelligence, which is fine. I think this model's.
No, this one does.
Is this, are we talking about the air or the
We're
where
talking
the
about
air?
the air.
Oh, my apologies. So I'll go backwards here.
Yeah.
iPad Air. Yeah, so I think again Apple did it. They pushed it up to an M3. Is there going to be a big differences between the M3 and the M2? Not much. But it might they discontinued the M2, so it might be had third party places if you wanted to still pay a little less, but you know, for $599 as an entry level, all of us have been saying that this Air is a good sweet spot if you don't want to invest in the big money for the Pro. And like you said, they redesigned the keyboard, but of course you got to buy a new keyboard if you have the old one, which is kind of sucky, honestly. But it is what it is. So that's what you always expect from Apple. The Apple Pencil, it works with it to get the Pencil 2 Pro will work with it fine. So, that's a good one as well, and you got some good colors. You know, that's what the fun thing about the Air is for those who like colors on their iPads. You got some fun color instead of the standard space black and silver. So, but overall, you know, it was overdue. Good to see that Apple's finally catching up because they went that whole year last year without doing any upgrades at all for the iPad. So we were sitting dormant for quite a while until they came out with the M4 Pros. So. It's good to see that they're staying active and want to keep some momentum for the air.
And I just realized I misspoke because when I rattled off the prices, I was rattling off the Magic Keyboard prices, not the
I was
iPad
wondering when you said
prices.
those low prices, that's why I got confused. That's why I ended up
That's
thinking you were talking about the.
fair. Well, I mean, also when Apple gave us the announcement about the new 11-inch iPad, it wasn't even its own press release. It was a footnote, basically, at the end of the iPad Air M3 press release. Which is kind of funny. So yeah, starting price is $599 for the 11-inch, which you just said, and $799 for the 13-inch. By the way, everyone, all of the articles that I'll be dropping on you today came from Dave's show notes from In Touch with iOS, because he does the hard work, so we don't have to. So thank you, Dave.
What was Steve Jobs' take on that? Good artists.
Good artists steal.
Yeah.
No, great artists steal.
Great
Yeah, great
artists
artists
steal.
steal.
Oh, I will take the compliment.
I think as to Dave brings up an interesting point about not a lot of difference between the M2 and the M3. And at the same time, Dave says, you know, we sat there dormant for a while. So I get the impression that, you know, Apple is maybe doing these upgrades only when there's really a good reason to do them. And the good reason this time would be that the M2 has been discontinued, so that they're not going to make any more. And so now it's time to push these up. But you're right, there is a performance boost. There's not a huge performance boost, but it's keeping the line current with the it's keeping the middle of the line current. I mean, the one we haven't talked about yet is sort of the bottom of the line. So everything slides up a little bit just so it doesn't go out of date. But unless there's a major issue or scratch that major reason to promote or announce new models, they're rolling along because the iPad is a pretty mature, and I mean that in the positive sense, pretty mature design. And there's only so much more they can do. If there's anything more they can do with that form factor that makes sense.
I mean, if you look at the comparison, everything is the same. I mean, the same camera, the same cores. It has the same camera, has center stage, it's got USB-C. I mean, it just goes on and on. Speakers are the same. They both have 6E Wi-Fi, and the only and they both supported the Apple Pencil Pro. So I mean, the only difference is it's a new keyboard, but. The biggest thing is now the space. The space is now at the minimum now is 128 gigabyte, which is hallelujah. Goodbye, 64
Right.
gigs for God's sake on an iPad. I got this fifth gen iPad I'm using for work, and like, oh crap, 64 gig, kill me now. That wouldn't even function if it was in the real world. I'm just using it for testing. So Apple finally realizes that yeah, 64 gigs isn't going to handle anymore with the size of these video files, and got to give us something. At least they do this way, other than not, and other than you go back and look at iCloud, and they still only offer 5 gigs for free, which is ridiculous. But that's another story.
Dave, I'm curious though, and this goes for everybody. So I don't have one of these iPads. So aside from the 64 gig issue that you just talked about, is there anything that anybody has been complaining about with these iPads that, oh, gee, I wish it had this, I wish it had that? And unless you're a cinematographer, I don't hear anybody complaining about iPad cameras, that they want more. Everything else is in software. I mean, I don't hear anybody saying, oh, if only it had this, if only it had that. Am I just blind to the fact since this is not an iPad that I pay attention to?
I mean, like I say, I go down the line here using the comparison charts on Apple's website. The only thing that differences the M3 and the M2 is you get a 16-core neural engine, which you don't have on the M2, and you get a 100 gigabit memory bandwidth, and then you have the RAM is the same, 8 gigs, and you have some media engine expansion, with ProRes and the AV1 decode. But other than that, it's the same. But like you said, any who's gonna probably care about that, what I just rattled off.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I get into the everybody saying, oh, there's not much new with this iPad. And that sounds like a negative thing. And it's like, as far as I'm concerned, it's sort of a positive thing because there's not a huge amount of pressure to upgrade. The upgrade is there if I want it. And especially if, as Jeff said, from an A series iPad. So I just it's a little bit we always use I always use the word iteration, and I don't think iteration is a bad thing.
There are really subtle
Yeah, I'm
changes
with
in the
you.
processor, but the Airs do go all the way up to 1 terabyte if you need storage. So it starts at 128, goes all the way up to 1 terabyte. So that's a big thing.
Well, Chuck, the strategy I take when someone asks me what iPad they should get, if I don't already know what their specific use case is, I start with the Air and then figure out if they should switch to something else.
Agreed.
I mean, to me, the Air is the go-to iPad. If you want the most value for your money, the most versatility for what you're spending, you get an iPad Air. That said, I'm an iPad Pro user, but my iPad is also my video editing workstation. So I do take advantage of Pro features. But if I wasn't using it that way, I wouldn't even hesitate to get an iPad Air.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Look, let's not forget these are M series chips. And yes, we all put M series chips on a bit of a pedestal level. That's because they belong there. These things were to deliver a ridiculous amount of power. And so just because it's an M3 and it's not the top of the line M3 or the top of the line M4, don't discount it as something that, well, it's just not going to really work very well. It works amazingly well.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, if anything, the M series is complete overkill for iPad OS.
For iPad OS, but not for the kinds of apps that we can run on iPad OS.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, an A series processor, the later A series processors, like an A14 on, those are still powerful enough to do more than what most people need.
Yeah, current A series processors are probably faster than most Intel-based Macs. And we're talking about the last generation of those.
Which is kind of crazy. Speaking of A series, we should at least mention the 11th gen iPad. It was an afterthought for Apple on the press release, which I think says a lot about what they did with the product and how it's positioned. So it may be a little more than an afterthought discussion for us, but yeah, just an A16 processor. And I thought that was a very interesting choice because it means Apple released a brand new iPad refresh that does not support Apple Intelligence, which they're pushing as a big thing for all their products. They even updated the iPad mini to support Apple Intelligence, and yet we get a new base model iPad that doesn't even have an A17.
So I was having a conversation last night, yesterday, yeah, I think so, with someone about a particular service. And I was asking them, and this has you'll see where I'm going with this, and asked them if, which tier of service they picked. And they didn't get the bottom tier. They stepped up because there are a few more features of, a little more of this, a little more of that. And it's like, okay, I think that's kind of the point here. We have a base level iPad that might not measure up by our standards. And Jeff, you're right, not by one of the what seems to be one of the flagship things that Apple is trying to sell right now or highlight right now. But it still is a very viable iPad for
Oh,
probably,
yeah.
look, we didn't have Apple Intelligence, what, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, as such. Do I have that time? Is that timeline about right? Okay. So we didn't have it, and they were selling iPads at much higher prices without Apple Intelligence, and we were buying them. So here, yeah, you are still buying one that's low in the pecking order, doesn't have Apple Intelligence, but it may be just fine for a lot of people at this point as Apple Intelligence becomes more widespread, better, and there's more awareness of it. Then, okay, somebody may turn around and say, hey, I think it's time to upgrade my iPad.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a weird decision to me, but I think you're probably right. I'm also speculating that for the market that Apple expects to be drawn to this model, it's a market that actually doesn't care about Apple Intelligence, or because of their use case, they don't want it. Like parents buying an iPad for their elementary school age children to use for whatever at home. They don't care about Apple Intelligence for that. They probably don't want their kids using it, at least not yet. So, yeah. But price point still starts at $349. A thing that came up on Dave on your show last night, which was the big surprise to me, it still uses the first gen Apple Pencil, which connects via Lightning, and this iPad has USB-C for its port, so you have to use a USB-C to Lightning adapter to plug this into your iPad. Excuse me, to charge it or pair it.
But let's be honest, nobody's going to be using a first gen pencil with this.
I
It
disagree.
It's going to be either the USB-C crap or one of the third parties. You probably one of the $20 to $30 third party ones.
Okay, I can see someone going for one of the super cheap ones, like a $20 or $30 one. I think a lot of people are already completely dismissing the USB-C Apple Pencil. But the first gen Apple Pencil, it's, what am I trying to articulate? Okay, here we go. For the people that want to use a stylus with this iPad, they're going to be people that don't care about all the features, so they're going to go super cheap, and they'll get like a $30 stylus. Or they're the people that actually care about what their stylus does, and they'll get a first-gen Apple Pencil and deal with the adapter, and it still has to stick out of the end of your iPad, and most everyone will just skip over the USB-C piece of crap.
Honestly, I think those people will go up to the air.
Yeah, maybe.
And you know what? If Apple had decided not to support the first gen Apple Pencil, we'd be all sitting here, or, well, not maybe we wouldn't, but there's a faction out there that would be complaining about, oh, you dropped support for the Apple Pencil, and so now I've got to spend another X number of dollars on this bigger, better Apple Pencil. And I just spent all that money on a new iPad. So I think it's great. I don't know if it cost them anything to support it, but I think it's great that they did not drop support for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they wouldn't have dropped Apple Pencil support completely, but they could have dropped first-gen Apple Pencil support, forcing you to use the USB-C Apple Pencil or a third-party product. But that USB-C Apple Pencil is actually a pretty poor product.
But again, that would have meant you had to purchase it.
Apple's not above making us purchase new things. Point in fact, all the people that have to replace their Magic Keyboards.
Yeah, no but question about it, Jeff. It's look, it's an interesting decision as to, you know, how far back you go to support things. And Apple has a history of doing, I think, a pretty good job of that. But at some point, yeah, it either becomes cost effective for them to move on, or it just makes sense that, you know, the current functions of a device just don't really support that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, my current Macs do not support local talk.
Well, they could.
Well, they could. Yeah. Spoken like the geek you are, Jeff.
It's funny because I was like, wait a second. I think there's an open source stack you can get where you, and with the right adapters, you could even go all the way back to local talk connectors for your Apple Talk network if you wanted.
And then I'll take 3 weeks to transfer a one meg file.
Yeah, but you could do it.
You could do it. After the show, Jeff will be giving a tutorial on how to connect SCSI devices to your Mac.
Oh my God. It's, you actually can do it.
Yes, yeah, see?
However, why? If your data's that important, pay to have drive savers get it off those disks for you.
And you notice Dave cut out. He's over in the corner crying somewhere when I bring up SCSI. So.
Yeah, that checks out. Yeah, that's fair. I do still have a SCSI Terminator sitting in a box somewhere.
And I do too.
I keep it, I think I have two. You know, one where it's just the straight end Terminator, and the other one where it can also be a pass-through Terminator. And I don't keep them because I'm thinking someday there's going to be a situation where I actually have to have this SCSI Terminator. It's because it's a reminder, you know, like when you put your enemy's head on a pike outside the castle.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just there as a reminder for the pain and suffering that we all had to endure. So every now and then I'll go through a box and I'll be like, yeah, I remember that. It goes back in the box.
Yeah. And for people who this is going over their head, The small computer system interface was a type of connector that was used in the 80s and 90s. Jeff does not have a T800 that is all dirty sitting in the corner.
No. Or do I?
Good. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But hey, how about that sky blue iPad, or not iPad, MacBook Air? Oh wait, the color, that's not the big new feature, although it is a big new feature.
Yeah, that's the only color, or that's the only feature that matters.
Right. Yeah, so new 13 and 15 inch MacBook Airs, and they have M4 processors. So let's see, what is it? M4 processor with a 10 core CPU and 10 core GPU. And oh, I thought the memory went higher. Support for up to 32 gigs of RAM. I thought it went up to 64. Apparently, I'm wrong. Huh. All right. So, up to 32 gigs of RAM. Oh, and now the camera, the FaceTime camera is 12 megapixel with center stage. So, you do get a new camera in there too. And prices have been dropped. So now you can pick up a an M4 MacBook Air base model. That would be the 11 inch for $999. Excuse me, 13 inch.
I said it's eight. It's now $9.99 for the 13-inch. Yeah.
Yes, $999 for the 13 inch, and eight nine crap. I had the price for the 15-inch in my head, and now it's gone.
15 inches starts at I believe $11.99.
Okay, there we go. So, I think this is actually a nice upgrade for the MacBook Air, and with an M4 processor, it actually makes the choice. No, wait. If I were in the market today to replace my MacBook Pro the way that I was when I bought my M2 MacBook Pro, meaning I was upgrading from an Intel Mac. At the time, I really debated, should I get a MacBook Air or a MacBook Pro? Because everything that I need to do, I actually can do on a MacBook Air. And ultimately, I went with the MacBook Pro because I know I'm going to keep the computer a little bit longer. I wanted the extra ports. I wanted the extra horsepower, everything that went with having the MacBook Pro. Today, though, if I were in the same position, it would actually be a much more difficult decision for me. And I could see actually ending up with a MacBook Air. Well, I'd have to price it out because part of what it came down to was I wanted to upgrade the storage and the base RAM. And when I did that, I ended up paying at least as much as a middle of the line MacBook Pro. So it's like, well, if I'm spending that money.
I mean, right now, if you are paying, or if you're getting a basically the same similar configuration to the base model 14-inch M4 MacBook Pro, there's about a $400 difference. Which, of course, you get an extra, you get fans, an extra Thunderbolt port, and a far, far better display. But I have to say, with the new pricing makes the MacBook Air even more compelling.
Oh, I agree. It's like with the iPad Air for me. If someone says, "Hey, I need to get a Mac laptop," if I don't know what their use case is, I'll start at the MacBook Air and then we'll work out from there.
Because I mean, the 999 MacBook Air is a very useful very compelling machine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to $11.99, which is still a really affordable price, you get the same 10, you get the same unbinned M4, you get the same 16 gigabytes, and you get the same 512 gigabyte SSD as the MacBook Pro. And it's only $11.99. If you're using a Thunderbolt hub and don't need that extra that extra Thunderbolt port, yeah, I think a lot of people that are currently using 14-inch MacBook Pros can easily upgrade to this, especially if you're on an M1 series.
Sure.
And plus with Skyblue, it'll look way cooler than anything else.
There is that. I hear every device Chuck buys moving forward, he wants it to be sky blue.
As it should be.
Chuck who?
Cranky.
Chuck
Cranky.
fracking Joiner.
Mm-hmm. All right, I set that up and I didn't mean to.
That's a show title.
Yeah, no. There are much better show titles. I was pulling up Apple's website just to look at the family and the comparison charts, and I mean it's that seems to be a pretty nice little machine,
Yes.
you know, whichever one that you want for the price. But I think it continues to emphasize this idea that Apple is if they have put Pro in the name now of something, A, it's going to be more expensive, but B, it's really built for someone that requires Pro level features. And that may or may not be, and I'm thinking in the case of the MacBook Pro 16, that may not necessarily just be the chip. It may be the fact that you can connect more monitors to it, or there's more expandability depending on, you know, which one we're talking about. And the same thing for the studio, even that doesn't have the name Pro in it, but that's clearly a much more powerful machine. So I think Jeff, I think you're right. If someone comes to you and says, "What do you recommend?" Yeah, you start with the Air because it's super capable. And I guess the next question is, do you want a 13 or a 15?
Right. And you mentioned the displays. This one can run two 6K displays and have the lid open so you get three displays at once. And that's a big step up from the previous MacBook Air. And in the chat, Bob Beach is saying, he says, every Mac these days is fantastic. Apple Silicon has changed everything. You can't buy an underpowered Mac anymore. And now that they move beyond 8 gigs RAM as the standard base, and bumped up the minimum storage to what is it on laptops now? It's at least 128. Is that right, Dave? You know all the specs. You're Mr. Wikipedia
Yeah, it
for
was
Apple.
it was you're talking about the Max?
Yeah.
I think it was 100, I think it was 128. I'll confirm.
So, but yeah, I mean, there you go. That supports what Bob Beach is saying. It's you really can't buy an underpowered Mac anymore. I mean, for your use case, sure, you could buy one
It's 32 gigs is the Max.
okay, so 32 gigs for the max
And 2 terabyte, you can get storage.
Okay, that's right. We even said that earlier. Yeah. Okay. So, but yeah, these are powerful machines.
Yeah, so something that, you know, because I'm not in the market for this. So that means that that machine can drive two Apple Pro displays, two
Yes.
32-inch 6K Apple Pro displays. That's pretty
And
impressive for a
still have
mid-level
the lid
machine.
open so you
And still
can
have the
use the
lid
internal
open.
display.
Yeah, so you think about that. A, that gives you a lot of screen real estate. And second of all, it gives you two very gorgeous monitors. And the open screen in front of you is not the open lid is not a slouch either as far as a screen goes. So I don't think I realized it didn't register 6K. Two 6Ks. Two
Yeah.
so you can drive $10,000 worth of display
Yeah,
with
you can
a
spend a
mid-level
ton of
machine.
money on displays and as an afterthought, spend a little bit of money to get a MacBook Air that'll drive them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we should also mention the Mac Studio before we move on to cool things. So we did get a new Mac Studio, and it comes with either an M4 Max configuration or an M3 Ultra configuration, and they went to Thunderbolt 5. So the M3 Ultra is more powerful than the M4 Max, which some people will be confused because you'd think M4 across the board would be more powerful, but there you go. Yeah, this thing is a beast. You can do up let's see. You can get up to an 80 core GPU. So GPU that's more powerful than anything in any other Apple product. Let's see. And then let's see. Up to 16 terabytes of storage and up to 512 gigs of RAM, and which is amazing because previously it would max out at 192 gig of RAM. So these are just crazy. One thing that I brought up on Dave's show last night that I'll bring up here again so that we can plant that seed in everyone else's head. One of the things that Apple points out with the new Mac Studio and its Thunderbolt 5 ports is that it is ready to go for external expansion chassis. And when I saw that, my first thought was, oh, this could mean the end of the Mac Pro because
Yes.
the big limitation for a lot of people with Studio versus Pro was expansion card support. And now you can just plug in a chassis and add in those cards and away you go. So there's a thought in the back of my mind that Apple is going to phase out the Mac Pro in favor of the Mac Studio as their big flagship, top of the line, most powerful workhorse machine.
Jeff, enlighten us a little bit, because as far as I know, an expansion chassis would not degrade the performance of any cards that are stuck in it,
No, with Thunderbolt 5, that's true.
especially with Thunderbolt 5. Yes. Yeah. So, I sort of made the point on Dave's show a little bit last night. A Mac Studio is still a pretty darn portable machine, and the odds are, if you're going to be doing something that requires an expansion card, that's probably not going to be something you want to lug around all the time. So, but you can lug the Mac Studio with relative ease. And so, does it just not make a little more sense to make some of these things a little more modular?
Yeah, and but at the same time, if you're doing that much with the machine, is it really going to be a portable machine anymore?
Well, exactly. And I'm not suggesting that, portability. Listen, the current Mac Pros are not portable by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
So I'm giving portability sort of just a minor consideration there. But if there's no downside to having an expansion chassis, if I'm going to buy something at a pro level machine, but I really don't need those slots, why should I be paying for them? Whereas, if I need them, then I buy the expansion chassis, stuff it full, and go.
Yeah, not only that, but a rack mount expansion chassis, the price of that is far, far less than the price difference in the exact same configuration that of the Mac Studio and the Mac Pro.
Now, one thing I don't know off the top of my head, how much RAM can you put in a Mac Pro?
Same, it's the same exact chip.
192.
192. Okay.
As opposed to
That's
512.
so okay, so you really can buy a Mac Studio now
Yeah.
that outperforms a Mac Pro across the board. And with an expansion chassis, then you don't even lose the other cards that you might be running, which in many cases it's going to be like super high-end video and fiber optic networking, stuff like that.
Yeah. And I mean, with the, and to be perfectly honest, with the M2 MacBook or M MacBook, M2 Mac Pro, that particular machine lost a lot of the compatibility of the cards that the Intel version had. So you can't include a lot of video cards or that. You're pretty much just looking at storage options, which you may have other options via Thunderbolt. There's a lot of external versions of these devices used for Thunderbolt. And quite frankly, whatever ha the advantages the Mac Pro had in the M2 generation are now basically gone.
All right, Dave, I have a question for you because you're the guy that's purchasing, setting up, and managing just lots of computers. So for do you see any value in bringing in Mac Pros now versus a Mac Studio?
No, because you look at the comparison between the two. I mean, you have much more powerful a chip going from an M2 Ultra to an M4 Max. I mean, the media engine's much faster, and you got memory. You can go all the way up to 512 gigs, where on the Pro it's only 192. Storage can go all the way up to 16 terabytes versus 8. Display support is the same. It does no, actually it's not. You can now do four 8K displays on the Studio versus the Pro. So there's no, I mean, this is a really bad.
And that's without extra video cards.
Right. Yeah. It says support for 8 4K displays, 8 6K displays, or 4 8K displays.
Say that again, Dave.
So it's 8 4K displays, eight
8.
K is eight. Six 8 6K displays and 4 8K displays versus the Pro, which is 8 4K displays, 6 6K displays, or 3 8K displays. So it's increased a little bit as far as the support of monitors. But someone that's doing that is some pretty serious designers. So if you got 8 displays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just looked up on B&H Photo, they have a Sonnet XMax Studio Pro 3U rack mount enclosure for $549. And that has three PCIe expansion slots along with other features.
And that would work with the Mac Studio.
It says for Mac Studio.
Oh, nice.
Oh, there
So
you
it's the
go.
start.
Wow.
So it's third
So
party.
yeah, it's third party. Yeah, I didn't see an expansion chassis from Apple
I
yet.
don't think Apple's making one. Yeah.
No.
But so if you really need those cards, I know it's only
Well,
$550.
like we mentioned too, you want to max this bad boy out, it's over $14,000.
And that's before you start adding in external expansion cards.
Yeah, the $500 plus the cards, the cost of the cards. Yeah.
But think about the machine you have sitting there for 15K.
Yeah, we are.
I
Yeah.
mean, it's that sounds like a lot to most of us who would purchase, MacBook Airs. But,
Yeah.
at the end of the day, if you have that need, man, that's affordable for a lot of seriously high-end work.
Yeah. Yeah. To quote a Mr. Doc Rock, that's the price of doing business.
There you go. So now that you have quoted the venerable Doc Rock, I'm going to do my best to channel the venerable Patrice Brendamore, who isn't able to join us today. Patrice, she upgraded our live stream platform, so it's much better now, and that includes a new live stream live chat that's just integrated right into the whole live stream webpage. So if you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com and you're watching the shows live, you get a column right there in the window for the live chat, and you're just automatically in it, so you can chat with us in real time, and like Bob Beach has been doing today. And if you don't like the name that it comes up with for you, because it generates random names, so like let's see, Compassionate Goodall, Laughing Switch, and Inspiring Rontgen. Anyhow, very clever names. If you want it to be your name, just click the purple button at the top, and there's an option there to change your display name. And then you can interact with us in real time, which is cool. If you are watching or listening to the show after the fact, you can't participate in the live chat, but you can still see everything that's there, which includes the conversations, the links for articles that we have dropped in, and yeah, it's all there. So to get to that, you go to crap, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Is that right? I think so. How funny. I just totally drew a blank on that.
Hang on, checking it.
Yeah, britishtechnetwork.com/chat.
This is what
And
happens when we're without su adult supervision.
right? No one understands the cross that Patrice bears.
Yes,
She is
you had it right, Jeff. britishtechnetwork.com/chat.
and Bob Beach to the rescue. Roentgen is a legacy unit of measurement for the exposure of X-rays and gamma rays. Named after the German physicist who discovered X-rays, of course. So at least we have an adult supervising us by proxy through Bob Beach. So thank you for that, and no pressure. Anyhow, so when you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, you'll see a slick calendar there. Click on the day for the recording. So for today, that would be Friday, March 7th, and then you'll see the chat. And actually, it updates, that archive updates in real time. So if you're in there right now as we're recording live, you'll see it update, and you'll see stuff showing up.
Yes.
So by the time
Yes.
you get to it, dear recording listeners, it'll be up to date and ready for you.
Yes. You too can see all the stupid ch stuff we post in the chat.
Yeah, saved for all eternity.
Of course, to see this, to know about this, you have to be hearing all the stupid stuff we say in the show.
So, watch or listen live, or make sure you check out the recordings after the fact so you don't miss out on something that will help you feel better about yourself, because what you will discover is that in comparison, you're actually pretty smart. Yeah. Anyhow, hey, Patrice, thank you for all the work you put into modernizing our live stream and live chat. That's awesome. So now I believe it is time for us to do some cool things. And it sure looks like Ben has the first cool thing today.
Yes. Today I will be giving the devil of Hell's Kitchen his due.
This was my pick for the big show yesterday. Well done.
Yep. So 7 years after the Netflix Marvel breakup, Daredevil is back in Daredevil Born Again, which is, of course, named after the iconic run of the Daredevil comic and the basically the season three of Daredevil, plot line. Essentially, this is picking up Daredevil in the current MCU around 2027. Basically, almost 10 years after the show, things are much different. A certain kingpin of crime is now mayor. And I don't want to spoil things, but let's just say Matt has featured some setbacks in his life.
As he always does.
Yes. The whole thing about it being a kindler, gentler Daredevil. No.
Nope,
Yep.
it is not.
Thankfully, Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio went jointly to Foggy to said tell him this ain't working. So instead of a kindler, gentler Daredevil, you have an even more hardcore Daredevil.
Yeah, it might be in Disney, but it is not a family show.
No. Yep, it's for those who love the original, you will love this. It is so well done, made by people who love these characters. Definitely helped the people who know those characters the best, definitely helps steer this. They literally halfway through changed the showrunner to a guy who used to work on The Punisher, who, spoilers to the trailers will be showing up some point during the remaining 7 episodes.
That's not a spoiler, that's in the trailers.
Since it's also in the trailers, we'll just say the opening Daredevil bullseye fight is insane.
Yes, it is. First two episodes are out now, and a new
Go watch them.
episode weekly on what, Tuesdays?
Yes, Tuesdays.
All right, it's on Disney Plus. All right, excellent pick. And then, Dave, you are next, and your choice is far less violent.
Yes, it is. I found this
Maybe to
backpack.
your wallet.
I found this. I found this backpack I've been buying for work for folks that's gets start new, and it's made by a company called Kroser, Kroser. It's a travel laptop backpack. It'll hold up to a 17-inch laptop, water repellent. It's a day backpack, business backpack. You can put probably clothes in there if you want. It's not huge, really huge or great big size. Starts off with lots of compartments. At the top, it's got a hard shell safe zone, which I like. You can zip through that, and it also has a little tray that comes out, so you can pull the tray out if you got all your little accessories in the tray,
Oh,
and
nice.
access it, and then you can put it back in. And showing all the pictures there, you see somebody might want to do like an overnight with some clothes. You could do that if you wanted. It's got nice pockets, and it's got extra zipper pockets. You actually have a lock that comes with it with the spin dials. It's breathable, goes on the luggage, the standard stuff with a travel backpack. And the price is pretty phenomenal. I mean, it's $39.99, $39.59, and then there's a 10% coupon from that. So that'll take another, what, $4 or $5 off of it. So this is pretty cheap for what it has to offer. Really nice backpack if you're in the market for a backpack.
That's
And
really
the
nice.
18. The 18 and a half one is only $50.
Yeah, there's an
I
18-inch one.
would have seen this as a $100 backpack easily.
Easily. Yeah, this is a good deal.
That's really nice.
You get 5% off the 18. So that's like a gaming backpack, they call it, the 18-inch one.
That's super cool. All right. So it's, oh, Chuck, you've been talking and I didn't realize it because you were muted.
Yeah, sorry. I said Dave knows I have a bag problem and he has to show me this.
I'll show it to you
The
in the flesh
only,
too. Here you go. 7 pictures.
okay, Dave. So one question that I can't find so far in the write-up, maybe it's here, but is the laptop sleeve suspended so that your laptop, when you drop it in, is not going crashing down on the floor itself?
There's two pockets back here that you can just slide it in.
Right, but I mean on the bottom, when you slide it the whole way down, is the bottom suspended above the floor?
In the front, no, but in the pack, in the pocket that it goes in, yeah, it
Right.
doesn't go all the way down.
It doesn't go all the way down.
It does
Okay.
not.
That's a
You can put
key
the iPad in
feature.
one pocket in front of it, and then the laptop in the backpack, back in the pocket.
That's nice. That's a key feature for anyone that is buying a laptop.
No, it's pretty nice. I know it's hard to see with my background, but.
Yeah, no, that's impressive.
Very nice. Okay, so Chuck, your turn.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. Did I put it in the chat? Or did
Did
I?
you?
Now I've
No.
lost the chat. Now I've lost the chat. No, I didn't. I didn't hit. I didn't hit return. I pasted it and I just didn't hit return. So my apologies. So I've been sort of going through and picking things that I thought were cool from my trip to CES. And this one, in honor of all the iPads that were announced and we beat to death today, I'm going to steer you toward the DuckSling iPad case from STM Goods. Now, they advertise this as one for kids, which that ought to tell you how rugged it is. But the other thing that I think is interesting is it comes with handles that end up being able to act as prop mechanisms to prop the device up. They showed this off. They, showed just how durable it is. It's plastic, so yes, it may look a little like a kid's thing, but I could see working environments where maybe you don't need one of the full-blown body armor kind of cases that wrap the whole way around, but you do want a little extra protection from just being, banging your iPad around. And this would give it. It was an impressive design that I didn't feel was obnoxious. Now it only comes for certain iPads. I'm sure that'll be being updated as we go along. So make sure before you would order this that it ad adapts to your particular iPad. But it's a little bit different take on an iPad case. And iPad cases are just as personal, if not more so, than backpacks. So check it out. But I don't think that you should overlook it just because it is advertised as for kids.
I would have completely overlooked it until now.
Yeah, it's because I mean I see iPads with handles or sleeves you can put your hand in, like a puppet from behind. And okay, that's fine, but that really does end up, just occupying your entire hand then. This is a handle that you can, wrap your hand around, sit it down, pick it up very easily and very quickly. And to boot, then when you want to sit your iPad somewhere and look at it, it becomes a stand. So yeah. And if you have kids, that's fine too. This would be a great thing for them because we all have gone to restaurants and see kids with iPads, propped up in front of them to keep them quiet. Something I heartily endorse, by the way. So,
Yeah, you want to keep me quiet in a restaurant? Do this.
yeah. I don't want to know what you're watching in the restaurant to keep you quiet, but yes.
It's okay. I'll take screenshots for you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right. So then that means my turn. And my pick today is inspired by a discussion we were having before the show about image file formats, graphic file formats, and changing from one to another. and Affinity Photo 2 came up in that discussion. This is my go-to pixel image editing tool, and it's my replacement for Photoshop and has been for years. It does everything that I need. Every year it becomes more powerful and more useful, and in many cases you're not even having to pay for upgrades for it. They do not offer a subscription. So this is a perpetual license. So it costs $70 for this app. And while some people will be like, oh my gosh, $70, that's a lot of money.
Worth
For a
it.
professional image editing application, this is super cheap. And but it is it it's punching way above its price point. It's fantastic. And I also have Affinity Photo on my iPad, and which is, at least for everything that I'm doing, feature parity across my devices. So I think it's actually, it has feature parity, like full feature parity. So I can work on an image on my Mac, and if I'm to take that image on the go and work on it on my iPad using my Apple Pencil, I can do that. And if you are using your iPad as a secondary display with your Mac, so you can use it like a Wacom tablet, Affinity Photo does recognize that you've put the window for the Mac app onto the iPad screen, and it acts accordingly. So it will recognize everything you're doing with your Apple Pencil as a graphic stylus on the Mac version when you pop that window over to the iPad display. So anyhow, awesome tool, only $70, and their upgrade pricing when they do major upgrades tends to be very reasonable. So it's an affordable way to get a super powerful image editing tool. Their entire suite is great. I have all of it. So it's Affinity Photo, Affinity Designer. So that's their vector tool, their Illustrator compatible tool, and then Affinity Publisher, which would be like Adobe InDesign. So there we go. Affinity Photo 2. And with that, it is now time for us to wrap up. So, Ben, where can people find you when you're not sitting on your throne?
Well, you can find me on social media at Ben Rithig, and I'm pretty much at all of them at this point, all 17,000 different most social media sites. You can find my intermittent writings and ravings at rithigtech.com. And when I'm not working, you can find me on such podcasts as Mac Forces Live by Chuck Joyner, In Touch with iOS by Dave Ginsberg, and of course the Mac and occasionally big shows here on the British Tech Network. And I just offended everybody with rolling those R's.
You did not offend me.
I offended everybody in the UK.
Well, to be fair, we are in the United States,
This is true.
and offending people in other countries seems to be our jam right now. So, well done.
It on everyone.
Hey, Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on the Mac Voices Live every Tuesday nights. I'm here on the Fridays, and I'm on Mastodon and Blue Sky at DaveG65.
Awesome. Okay. And Chuck, Fracking Joiner, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you'll find everything I'm doing. Tuesday nights, we do Mac Voices Live at 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV with everybody here and even more crazy people that join us every week, both in the chat room where you could be or on screen. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner, even the ones that maybe are politically unpopular at the moment.
Yeah, you are a man about town or a man about social media.
Okay.
It could be far worse.
It frequently is, Jeff, but that's another story.
Speaking of far worse, you can find me on all the social medias as Jay Gamut. And I'm posting right now mostly on Mastodon and PixelFed instead of Instagram and some on Blue Sky. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, The Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and Patrice Brendamore and I do Retro Rewatch. And with that, it really is now time to wrap up. So thank you to the three of you for being so wonderfully entertaining today. What a great way to start my Friday. So I do enjoy getting to spend this time with all of you. Everyone that's watching and listening live, thank you for being here. If you've been participating in the live chat, thank you for that as well. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And to go along with that family, hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Patrice isn't here to stop me, so I'm going to say, hey, Patrice, thank you for keeping all of the infrastructure running so that we can be these absolutely ridiculous people on shows live on the internet. And so now, everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again next Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.